Meeting here at this Jehovah's Witnesses meeting, is that or something? No, Micron. Is it a Micron meeting? No. Why are we here? Hewlett Packard. So the basic position in the material world is that everybody is suffering. Is there anybody here who's not suffering? Raise your hand. I don't know what suffering is. One man is sitting in a tavern. Out front of a little country tavern there, and after working so hard in the mine all day, he's drinking a little country beer, and you look at the newspaper. And one Brahmin goes by and says, "You're drinking alcohol. You're going to go to hell," like that. The man's a little shocked, and he says, "Well, sir, my father, he's a miner before me, and he also takes a little alcohol after work. It's so difficult there in the mine." The Brahmin says, "Your father is also going to hell." And the man says, "Well, my uncle, my brothers, older brothers, they all, after work, it's so difficult. In the mines there, we take a little intoxication like that, And the Brahmin just, goes away and says, "Your whole family is going to hell." So the man is thinking, he says, "Wow, my goodness, if we're all there together, maybe it won't be so bad." So this is a material world. Everybody looks around, and everybody else is same position as me. Well, I guess this is just the way it is, like that, Or another story, same thing. One eagle, she somehow her egg falls out of the nest and rolls down the hill and ends up in the chicken yard. And the chickens that come out and they look at it and they say, "Well, it's an egg. I guess we should sit on it, Bluck, bluck, like that. Bluck, 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 bluck. So I sit on, and after some time it hatches, and out comes this little bird, He looks around, looks a little different than everybody else, but, not that different, And he starts doing what everybody else is doing, looking for worms and trash and things in the dirt, eating like that, But he gets bigger than everybody else, And sometimes when he looks up in the sky and he sees the eagles flying overhead, And he kind of moves his wings and he thinks, something is not quite right here. So again, we're caught in the same position, being surrounded by all these people in mundane consciousness. And so we think, well, this is just the way it is. This is what's possible. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna also says in the Bible, and Krishna also says in the Quran, and Krishna also says in the Dharmapada. In so many places, he says, "Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata." Abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam sinjami shrijami aham. That whenever there is yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati. What does dharma glani mean? Dharma glani. Discrepancy, dharma glani. Whenever there is a discrepancy in the process of religion, yada yada hi dharmasya of dharma, namasya glanir bhavati, manifesting, Bharata, abhyutanam, expanding, growing, abhyutanam adharmasya, like that, adharma, ardhama. So killing is adharma. In the holy Book of Mormon, Doctrines and Covenants. Their history is that Joseph Smith, he was kind of a young man in New York. And people were, it was a big religious movement, "You should join our church." No, "Our church is correct." "No, our church is correct." "No, join our church." So he didn't know what to do. So he read in the Bible and it says, if you lack knowledge, then just pray to God. "Okay, I'll try that." So he went out praying every day in the forest. And then God appeared from him and kind of like this image and like that. And another person with him, and he said, "This is my son with whom I'm very pleased," like that. "It's Jesus Christ, So after that, he had different experiences, and he was supposed to translate these very ancient plates like that. And that was the Book of Mormon, which describes this history of Jesus Christ coming to South America after he was in Israel and preaching to those people. And the same thing. There's another world. There's a spiritual world, Everybody here has amnesia. We're all confused. We come into this material world to try and enjoy ourselves somehow or other, And so, then they had different experiences, and they were persecuted by certain people. Socrates says the same thing. Once you go out of the cave, You see the light, you try and going back into other people. There's a whole world of light and colors and like that, you know. And then they try and catch you and kill you, you know, for telling people these crazy things like that, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, they had different experiences, the Mormons. And they were chased here and there, and they also were, you know, killing some people themselves, you know. So then they started having these revelations called doctrines and covenants. And God says, okay, you should do this, you should do that, you should do this, you shouldn't do that. You know, different agreements, you know, God made. You know. And one of them, he says, one of them, as far as eating meat goes, I would prefer you don't do it at all. Right? But in times of extreme cold or hardship, you can eat it sparingly. Yeah? In the same way, most of the many monastic traditions in the West, they follow the order of Saint Benedict. You know, Benedict? I think it's just like that. And he had a whole description, same thing, of what it means to be a religious person, how to practice like that. And in there it says you can eat meat, right? But this was in Europe. The monks were coming from the Middle East, going into Europe. In the wintertime in Europe, there's no fruit, there's no flowers, there's nothing. You know, it's just very cold and harsh, and the only thing available, you know, is animals. You get it because the animals store the energy in their body. Okay, so you kill one animal and take a little bit like that. And to digest meat, you have to drink wine, alcohol, pretty much. You know, so you start taking some alcohol. You know, okay, but it was very regulated, only certain times, and people were sick, like this and that. You know, so many basic principles everywhere, like that Dharma. And so you see now all this systematic killing. Unnecessary violence all over the world, you know, talking about that. And then, you know, so many other things like that going on, people being inspired to engage in more and more intense, you know, sense gratification, you know, the opposite sex, you know. There's a phrase in Bengal. It says that, how's it go? Men are like gasoline, right? There you go. Men are like gasoline, right? And women are like fire. Sound like a good combination? No? Okay, yeah. If you're very careful, otherwise you get Romeo and Juliet, you know, Julius Caesar. All these Macbeth, all these stories are all about, you know, improper combination. You know? Lady Macbeth, her husband was a very high noble person. And his friend was the king, but she had this desire to become the queen, right? Everybody should serve me and respect me. Oh, here comes Her Majesty, like that. Oh, you know. So it's, you know, feminine passion can come like that, you know. So then she started, it seized her mind, everything else. She became a slave of this passion for honor, you know. So she started inspiring her husband and, you know, slowly motivating him. Women, as a source of inspiration for men, are more powerful than men. Right? The fact. Women as a source of inspiration for men are more powerful than men. You know. Behind every good man is a good woman. Right? Who's behind Osama bin Laden? You want to meet her? Yeah? This is science. You can see things. We see things, how things are working. Like that. You know? So she started inspiring her husband more and more and making him feel that the king was actually his enemy and was envious of him. And so finally, when the king was staying with his entourage in their palace as a guest, you know, they went in secretly and killed him like that. And then when the morning came, they found him. They came out and were crying and lamenting with everybody else, you know, false tears, a little onion here, one onion, you know, like that. And so then her husband became king, you know. And things went on like this. And then people began to suspect, you know, what had happened, different things. So some of the people in the kingdom then, saw Shakespeare, started to inspire Macduff, one guy, who was a noble guy also, then to organize a revolt against this king who actually had murdered the real king, his friend, and stuff like that. And then it grew more and more. But Macbeth had this blessing from a rishi. He said, "Oh, sir, your castle is named Dunsinor, and below it there's Birnam Wood, you know, some distance away, maybe like 2 miles away, like that." It says, "You will reign as king in Dunsinor until Birnam Wood comes to the gates of, you know, of your castle." So how long does it take for a forest to grow 2 years, you know, 2 miles? So basically it's like, wow, it's forever I'll be king. You know? So it's going on, and finally Macduff is getting more and more, you know, people are pushing him more and more, becoming more powerful. And now Lady Macbeth is starting to have neurotic or psychotic nightmares, you know. She's dreaming again and again of this horrible scene, you know, that happened like that and stuff. And it's just, because it's horrible, you know. She was driven to do this thing, and it's just on her conscience, you know. And so in her dream, she's acting it out and trying to get the blood. And who knows, who could dream there was so much blood in this old man, you know. And she's washing her sari afterwards, you know. The dreams, and her maidservants are seeing this nightmare and stuff, you know. So there's one drop of blood in her sari like that, which just won't come out like that. And it's the famous line, out, out, damn, spot. I don't wash it out like that. So on. So there's very one American actress, and she used to do, like, you know, stage theater like this, very classical theater. And she was retiring just about the time that movies became popular. And so the only thing they ever have of her, of a movie clip, was one director just, she's sitting the other side of a table. And she's maybe about 50 years old then, but she looks like about 38 or something, you know. And single girl her whole life and very pure, you know. So she's sitting there, and the director behind the camera is just running, says, oh, Miss, you know, Miss whatever it is, Eleanor, can you just do something for the camera? She says, okay, you know. So she picks up a hat off the table and adjusts it and picks up some piece of papers, and immediately she's an old lady. It's just like, wow, this thing is, you know. She says, oh, these are pictures of my last vacation. I was going with my friend Florence. We were traveling all over the world. And we went to Egypt, and here's a picture of us right together on an elephant, you know. And, stuff. And we had so much nice time like that, you know, and so on. But actually, you know, my friend Florence passed on about 2 years ago, and I haven't traveled much since then. Because they say, actually, you can only see the world through the eyes of someone you love, like that. So it's about 1 minute or 2 minutes, right? But she creates this entire impression of this old lady struggling on very bravely alone like that, you know. And so when she would do this part of Lady Macbeth, she'd play that part, you know. And when it came to this part of out, out, damn spot, you know, the anguish she was projecting was so intense that people in the audience would pass out. Like that. So the director was telling her, like, lighten up a little bit. You know, you're the greatest actress that ever lived, you know, stuff, whatever. But so then this is going on. I'm telling the story to show, like, this material world, right, these desires and stuff. So then finally, you know, it comes to this point, and people are suspecting more and more. And finally, the queen just goes completely nuts. And so poor Macbeth, who was inspired by her, we say it in America, is left holding the bag. His wife has gone nuts and left him, you know. His friend is coming attacking with another army. Few soldiers are really going to stand with him, you know. And so then this very, very famous soliloquy, you know. He's sitting there, and tomorrow he has to fight. So this candle is burning in the room. And he says, out, out, brief candle. Life is but a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. A poor actor who struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more, like that. Yeah, yeah, you know, close it out. You know, so the next day they hear this. Macbeth's there with a big army, but still I have this blessing. So Macduff tells his soldiers, actually we haven't got as many men as he thinks we do. All this pretty good. So I want all the soldiers to cut branches from Burnham Wood, and then we'll go hiding ourselves behind those. You know. So then they're doing this, and then somebody yells out, Your Majesty, Burnham Wood has come to Dunsinore. So there goes his wife, there goes his friend, there goes the benediction, like that, you know. So it finishes off, it says, wind blow, storm crack, at least we'll die with armor on our back, like that. So Kshatriya, right? Kshatriya's thing, Dira, you know, at least die like a hero, like that. Dira, and compensate for a life of mistakes like that. You know? So this is the material world, right? Everybody's engaged in different ways and controlled by the modes of nature. You know, but Krishna says, "Yada yada hi dharmasya, you know, glani bhavati bharata." Adharma is coming up. Right? There's a dharma for ladies. There's a dharma for brahmachari. There's a dharma for sannyasi. Everybody has a certain dharma described in the Vedas, described by Buddha, described by Confucius. Same thing. Every religion you find a marriage vow, right? Because this gasoline and fire, you know, have to combine it carefully like that and respect each other, you know, relationships, other people like that, you know? Every single religion tries to talk about the problems of this material world, you know? You know? Yeah, no place where you find this idea, right? Birth, death, disease, and old age, yeah, like that, yeah, yeah, yeah. He or she is crying because they're in such happiness, right? No, the pin is sticking in your back and you can't tell anybody, or your diapers are too tight and you have gas in your stomach, you can't figure out which way it's supposed to go, like that. Your eyeballs are going in different directions. So, yeah, so much suffering. Yeah, yeah. And you get a little older and you get so humiliated in front of your friends while playing with your toys or something, and then get a little older and some boy dumps you or you dump some girl and on like that. And you get older, you have to struggle to maintain your family. And then you get older and your eyes are starting to fall apart. Your teeth are coming out. Your liver doesn't work. You can't digest everything. And then you die. Yeah, yeah. Bhishma Dev is talking to Yudhisthira. And he said that this material world can be understood from the example of this man running down the road. And there's a tigress running after him. She's lean, skinny. And she hasn't eaten for 2-3 weeks. And she's hungry, you know. And there's lunch running down the road, like in front of her, like that. So she's after him. He's running, you know. And he goes, and there's a cliff. And he slides right off the cliff. There's a root. He grabs it. And it's like about, you know, 250 feet down to this, you know, riverbed with rocks like that and rivers roaring. And he's screaming and hanging onto this root. And the tigress is trying to get him like that. Yeah. And he's screaming like that. And this mouse comes out, rat comes out, and sees all this, and it's disturbing him. He starts to chew on the root, like that. And the man is trying to, you know, bat the rat away, and the tiger is trying to grab him. And everything's like this. And so suddenly he looks up, and in the tree above him, there's a honeycomb, you know, with beehive, bees. And a little bit of honey is dropping out. So he bends backwards. He bends backwards some more. He bends backwards until his back is almost breaking, you know. And one drop of honey falls on his nose, and he stretches it and gets it. He says, "Well, not everything is bad." Right? So Bhishma Dev said, this is a little bit of momentary pleasure in sex life. You know? And for a lady, it's so many problems. For a man, it's so many problems like that. But that one little drop of honey, you know, life after life, you know, we're trying for this in this material world like that. You know? But Krishna's coming and saying, no, you reawaken your you know, relationship with me, right? And then it becomes insignificant, all these material pleasures, all this material happiness, all this relationship between men and women, society, friendship, love, prestige. It's all, you know, it's all reflection. You know? The Buddhists say, oh, the Buddhists tonight, you know, painted fruits do not satisfy hunger. Right? So everything here is something missing. Because we're not, you know, we're continuously being confronted with things in the material world that have nothing to do with us. You know, one time somebody asked me, what do you like more, two-door or four-door cars? And I was kind of, I don't like either one. Yeah, yeah. So what do you want more, to work for Micron or work for HP? You know, neither one. Yeah. So this is the whole thing, is that, you know, Buddhism and everything else, the first thing is almost is this whole world is shunya. Just give it up. There's nothing here, right? Nothing here, really. Well, once I do that, then what happens? Then you begin to realize your real life, like that. You know? And Krishna is so kind. Yada yada hi dharmasya lenir bhavati bharata abhidhanama dharmasya tadatmanam shrijami aham. He manifests. Parittaranaya sadunam. Right? Yeah, vinashchaya taduskitam. Dharma samstarpanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To give us an example, to give us a choice, to give us a possibility. You know? If there's one-door cars, or two-door cars, four-door cars, or you can go back to Godhead with me and play and dance with me. Like that. But unless we see that, we're like this, like the eagle. You know, the miner. We don't see any other option other than just trying to like enjoy this miserable pleasure in the material world. Now, sometimes we're a little better, like a poet or a philosopher, with some little bit of sense of relief, like that or something, and so we, you know, go on like that life after life. Other times we're suffering more, you know, hellish pleasures. You know, even in hell, there's pleasure. I was in Vrindavan one time, and it's, you know, it's where Krishna appears. He has all these pastimes. It's not a part of the material world, but so many lessons for us here. If you go to Vrindavan, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, I know many learned gurus, I know many great scriptures, but as far as I'm concerned, there's no teacher like Vrindavan Dham. You know? So a loving mother, loving father, a powerful king, they can all give you protection, but Vrindavan Dham never sleeps like that. When you go there, you're in Krishna's lap, you're with Krishna. You know? So now I was walking through the bazaar, you know, Loy Bazaar, and in a little you know, shops like this wide, you know, this kind of dukan, that kind of dukan. And somebody was sitting there, you know, with his goods packed up, some grains and some gore, you know, what's it called? Gore, right? Yeah, molasses, you know, like that. Gore, chancaca, Spanish, like that. And under the front of the shop, there's open sewer, you know, all this kind of junk going down there, kind of village life. And I was walking, you know, and I looked. And there were some stones right on this side, you know, and one little puppy, street dog, about this big, was on his hind legs, on the stones, and like this. He was licking the sugar like this, you know, like that, you know. And the man couldn't see him because he was like that, you know. And so I went like that. And he, you know, kind of been doing it for a long time, apparently. Just kind of, he just fell over right into the gutter. He was just lying on his back, like, looking up, just totally intoxicated, like, yeah, like that, you know. So, you know, that's, you know, dog life. In the material world, you have worms in your intestines. You have, you know, fleas. You know, you're fighting with other dogs. The other dog, one time I saw his stomach and ripped open. He was going to die. He was walking around like that. You know, but that was just, you know, it happens. You know, like that. Somebody, some American corporation, they discovered it was cheaper to make sugar in America from sugar beets for soft drinks than it was to import it from the Philippines. So it's okay. They closed all their sugar mills and all their production in the Philippines, just like that. And something like, you know, 25,000 people were out of work and all their subsidiary families. And it wasn't so bad nobody died of starvation, but many people died of lack of proper nutrition, clothing, that kind of stuff like that. And what's the big of suffering like that? You know? But it's just business. We're paying them for what they're doing, like that and stuff. No, there should be some mercy, some compassion like that, you know. See, even it doesn't go on like direct violence. There's so much violence in the business world. People like that. In America, maybe it's a little more covered, you know, to keep the slaves peaceful right here, right? So they'll work, you know, without being disturbed. Nestle's, right? Nestle's is a friendly company, right? N-E-S-T-L-E-S. Nestle's makes the very best chocolate. Like that. So, but profit, right? You know? Hewlett-Packard. If you go online to many big companies, try it out. Go online to big companies and look for their purpose statement. You know, what is Microsoft's purpose statement? Yeah? We're in business to help you do whatever you want to do better. That sound okay? Yeah, it could be a little bit of dangerous. Like, people may not want to do the best thing like that. You know, but that's what there is. So that's their motto. We're in business to help you do whatever you do better. Maybe you should think twice, Bill, about who you're helping here, like that. And then Microsoft, Hewlett-Packard, maybe they changed it, it was before, is that we're in business to make money because we believe that money is how society rewards people for doing the right thing. Yes. We made a little higher statement here, like that, in these things, which is very interesting. Look at these big corporations and see what nice thing, state what they all say like that, you know. And then they're, of course, running our lives. They pay to elect the politicians, everything else, you know. Okay, we're in business to make money, like that. Okay, so we discover a nice market for our baby formula in Bolivia. These simple girls living up in the mountains like that, and working in mines a lot of times for families. So they gave them free formula. Like they will always advertisement, this will make your baby grow up big and strong like a gringo, like a North American guy, and something's like that, okay, you know, and you're a good mother if you give this, you know. So they get this free formula between their babies, and they gave them just enough until their natural breast milk had dried up. And then it wasn't free anymore. Now there's no option, right? You have to buy it. And many of these girls didn't have enough money to pay for it, so their babies starved to death. Yeah, oh, yeah. So Nestle's had to do a lot of advertising and a lot of, you know, distribution to take care of that one like that. So, and maybe you don't even want to do it exactly. You know, again, like Lady Macbeth, right? You know, But everything seems very nice in many ways. But behind it, there's still this competition, anxiety. Unless you live to be 100 years old, the Ayurveda says you're sinful. Some people dying now, about 60 years old, 65 years old, 70 years old, you know, yeah, somebody like that. Because we're engaged in so many nasty activities, so much stress, you know, unbelievable, everywhere. We did, one devotee said, well, you should do a lecture on meditation and stress. Okay, you know. And it was packed full. There was no space in the auditorium. People were standing outside in stress because he couldn't get in. And then the organizer was in stress because he could have got a bigger hall like that and stuff, you know. And I was in stress because people were there expecting, like, something, you know. So we did a nice program, meditation and stress, you know. You know? So this is Krishna's coming, right? Yeah. Yeah. Krishna is coming. Right? Again and again. Again and again, Krishna is coming. Why? Just like the eagle. He sees in the sky something passing over and he thinks there must be something else, something opportunity like that. You know, there was one book about one pig when I was a child called Higgledy Piggledy Pop. There must be more to life than this. This pig takes off, you know, and just tries it, something like that. So many books are coming in so many ways, so many sources. A human being, you have a chance to hear about this somehow or other, almost every place, there's something sneaking through, you know, past the demoniac filters of Maya, you know, like that. I think if you try a little bit of it, try and go for a little bit of it, be brave, be honest, then you get more. And some more information comes, some more advice comes, like that and stuff, you know. Then we go on like that. You know, Krishna's always helping us. And he says, I come, even though, you know, nobody calls me, nobody asks me, nobody invites me. Prabhupada says, nobody invited me to come to America, to your condemned country, like that. Prabhupada came here, he brought a big bag of puffed rice with him, I think it was, because he thought there would be no food in America, only meat, like that, you know? Yeah. But still he came. How old was he? 69 years old? Okay, so 70 years old, already had a heart attack on the way over, everything else. But then, no, you know, Krishna, Kontaya pratijanehi name bhakti pranashati. My devotee is never vanquished, you know. And he had experience. So he came to America. He said, one old man with hardly enough money for buying food and a few books. You know? And now all over the world, four to five hundred ISKCON centers, official listed centers like that, 400 to 500, all of them. One person like that, you know, so on. So it's Krishna. Yada yadahi dharmasya glanya bhavati bharata. You know? He comes and to try and, like, be aggressive. He's aggressive, you know. How can I know? Well, you can't unless somebody helps you. And that's what's happening, you know. Krishna gives you some advice. How did Newton discover the law of gravity? That's one story. Yeah, supposedly he was sitting in a tree and an apple fell on his head. Like that, boom. I don't know if it's true or not, you know. But that's, you know, but admitting that's the whole thing. If you look at inspiration in science, there's so many things about that. So many of the big discoveries were all came from these very momentary flashes of thing, and the person was able to hang on to it. They would just forget it. I gotta go. Just isolate themselves and write for 2-3 days till this whole thing was there, like that. Yeah. Wow. So many times, you know. So many times we have these different inspiration. So it's God, right? It's Krishna coming. Krishna coming. Okay? No? Yeah. So many times Krishna is coming. You know, he's sending Buddha, sending Jesus Christ, sending the Prophet Muhammad, sending Confucius, you know. So many times like that. And our job is somehow or other to try and apply it, you know, and become a little more advanced ourselves like that. You know? In the Srimad, we have the Light of the Bhagavat, one book here, which Prabhupada was doing for a conference in Japan, 1968 or something, 64, you know. Yeah. 1961. So Prabhupada was invited to a conference in Japan on cultivation of the human spirit, like that. You know? And it was, you know, it was educated audience, you know, culturally inclined people. So he took one chapter from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, which is a description of autumn. And in it are very, very nice lessons from nature. He thought Japanese people like this kind of thing. Chinese Oriental people, it's a fact. Very incredible sensitive appreciation for art, natural aesthetic beauty, things like that, you know. And so, you know, he wrote little explanations for each of the, he described pictures, you know, for each of the slokas like that. And then he himself, you know, then translated and wrote a little commentary like that, you know. But aimed at a more intelligent audience, an educated audience like that. You know? And the original pictures, of course, are bigger. The lady who did them was one of the most accomplished artists in the Gangobi style like that. Very beautiful art. The original book was about like this big, and the picture's much more impressive like that, you know. So, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, one time when he was sending his sannyasis out to preach, he said, "Everybody you meet is going to be more intelligent than you are, right? Everybody you meet is going to be more pious than you are, right? Everybody you meet is going to be more advanced in austerities and things like that. The only thing you have to offer them are the words of your spiritual master." Like that, you know? So this is our whole process. Yeah, you know, we hear from Krishna, right? You know, and then we tell other people. You can put it in a proper way so people can appreciate what you're saying like that. Adjust it, time, place, circumstance, art, pictures, but somehow or other, just listening, you know. And then where did your spiritual master get it from? Yeah, same thing. And when somebody tells you, you know, somebody tells you like, you know, you try to tell a child, ice cream is good. He says, "I don't believe you." He says, "How do you know?" "I've tried it." "Are you sure?" "Yes, it's okay." Oh, yeah. And when the mode of goodness, we can sense these things. Sound is how it's coming down. Like that. Konstantin Stanislavski, he was the one of the greatest, you know, directors in the history of the world. He started a thing called the Moscow Studio Theater and developed this whole thing about acting technique, drama technique. So one of the things he would do, he would have a paragraph, and two people are talking, two spies, two businessmen, two lovers, and the end of every single paragraph was these two words, "tonight," right? So he shuffled the cards up, passed them out to the actors, then called somebody, and they had to get up, and all they could do was say, "tonight." Now, was that the two spies, the two lovers, or the two actors? "Tonight." Yeah? What do you think? Two spies, two lovers, or two actors? Okay, just lovers. Or else another one would be like, "tonight." Yeah, yeah, yeah. So sound is so rich. It's the subtlest of all the five gross elements. You can smell something, you can hear something, you can taste something, and you can feel something or see something. But ultimately, sound is the most subtle of all the gross elements. You know? So then the person's mentality is revealed in the sound like that. You know, I mean, you know, you say this, you know, to be or not to be, that is the question, right? Now, I say it, no one's going to pay $150 for a seat to listen like that. But if Sir John Gielgud or Richard Burton says it, it's like, nobody pays $150. Stanislavski said, nobody goes to the theater to hear hear the play. They can stay home and do that much cheaper, right, you know? But it's some great actor, it's the subtext, it's the meaning, it's the purport like that. You know? So everyone's waiting to see how he's going to say this one line like that. Other things too, because the whole consciousness is there in sound, in fact. You know? And so, you know, we're hearing, and the chain is transparent. Everybody can see the moon. Everybody knows God, like that. As soon as you're a human being, you know there's somebody behind everything. You know, one small child once asked me, "So who created the animals?" And I was just becoming a devotee, and I was thinking, well, you know, evolution, atoms, molecules, and kind of got together by chance, you know, for millions of years and produced pigs, you know. I said, "What is no?" I said, "You know." I said, one guy named Brahma, and he accepted that. You know, okay. My mother makes my lunch. People make houses. Okay, so somebody created all the animals. You know, I don't understand how it happened. It's a very advanced technology for my intelligence. You know, but well, like that. You know, so as soon as you're a human being, You have enough intelligence to appreciate there's got to be somebody behind everything. There's a phrase, there are no atheists in foxholes. Right? When you're down there and bullets are passing over your head at, you know, 555 miles an hour, this big, you know, you pray to God. I don't know if there's a God or not, but I'm praying to you. Yeah, it's called Pasqualian wager. The bed is so high that, you know, even if there's a small chance, I'm gonna pray to you like that. So on. Yeah? So everybody knows God. Everybody. I don't believe in God. Who? God. I don't believe in it. Oh, okay, thank you, you know. Everybody has some idea, some impression, some belief, some activity like that. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, everybody sees the moon, right? But if you get a telescope, you can see like better, no? Not something different, same thing. So if some guru is telling you who God is, you just say, yeah, it's the same thing. Not like something different, and this and that, absolutely strange thing. No, it's very same. You know? We have to be kind to each other. Well, God is kind to us. You know, same thing. We're all people like that. But you got to align yourself properly with a telescope. You got to like, you know, you got to know how to use it. You know? How to align yourself properly with God. And then what do we see when we look at our guru, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami? Do we see Krishna? No. We see the next lens, compound telescope. You know, with his lens, we're looking at his spiritual master. Yes. This Bollywood. No? Yeah? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No? Over there. Yeah. Take it with you. That's all I want. Okay. And that's offering. Yeah. So then we're trying to see, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And the more you encounter Srila Prabhupada, the more you can realize his relationship with him. You know, in his books, everything else like that. There was one time Prabhupada was in, where was it? And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was lecturing. An audience of people, you know, several, 200 people. And then Prabhupada was there with, any children, you can take them out. It's, the fracuous children, not the good children. The good children can stay. So, yeah, Gopi's okay. Yeah. Those who are just screaming and yelling. Yeah. So, Bhakti Siddhanta was talking, and there was one older man in the city who was making very, very nice donations, you know, for the program like that. But Bhakti Siddhanta would talk in a very erudite fashion like that. And so it was difficult for this older fellow to understand exactly what he was saying. So he was asking Srila Prabhupada, he was a grihasta, young man, he was explaining like that. But it's an interesting story. Bhakti Siddhanta was disturbed by the little talking in the audience like that, you know. So he said, you know, so-and-so, do you think you purchased me with your 100 rupees a month? Like that, you know. And he said, you, Abhai Baba, do you think you can explain things better than your spiritual master? Like that. So Prabhupada said it was like, you know, 10,000 volts of electricity passing through his body. He said it was like for several days after that, he was still like, you know, surcharged like that. You know? Yeah. So many things. You realize his relationship. Well, another time, Hari Sori was with Prabhupada's secretary and traveling with him a lot like that, servant. So they arrived one place in Australia. And they went into the room, and he started to arrange things the way Prabhupada wanted it. Move the bed over to here, put there, put the desk here, space for that there, these things here. You know? And he was trying to find a place for the picture of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and like that. You know, it wasn't a space exactly where Prabhupada usually had it. So Prabhupada saw him. He said, "Oh, put Srila Prabhupada over here," like that. So Hari Sori was saying, "Well, Srila Prabhupada," and Prabhupada looking at him, he says, "Oh," he says, "You have your Srila Prabhupada, I have my Srila Prabhupada." Yeah. So this is it, you know. So what is the proof through induction? Radhika's not here, we can't torture him. Mathematics major. Proof through induction? It's in the back of a lot of algebra books they have it. Yeah. If any function f of x is true for the number one, and given that it's true for n, it will also be true for n plus one, it's true. That's the proof for induction like that. You know? So this is our parampara. You know? But first you have to investigate if it's true for number one. You have to investigate the current guru like that. Yeah, okay, I've investigated him, he's true. And what does he say? He says he only is telling us what his spiritual master told him, and this is what every single spiritual master in our line does. And then, yeah, now I've got a connection with Krishna. Like that. And you gradually meet everybody in the line. You meet Narottam Das Thakur, everybody there, you begin to meet them. You're singing their songs, and you realize what they're thinking. You can actually perceive their consciousness position like that. And by the way, you know, finally, you can see Krishna. Right? Yeah. He said, in the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, the experience is through the transparent via media of the parampara, you know. Yeah, but the experience is direct. Just like, again, like you have glasses. Some people have glasses here or contact lenses, I don't know, like that, right? So you have plastic in front of your face. Or if you're a little more rich, you have glass in front of your face, right? You know? So it's a transparent via media. He says the experience is through the parampara, but it is direct. It's direct even though it's through the transparent via media, like that. So you can directly perceive Krishna at that point. You know? And we have to be in the mode of goodness to really appreciate this. We have to be sensitive enough by no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, getting up early, chanting every day. And it's just job. I mean, myself, is just, it works, you know. If I get up early and chant, one time I was angry, I had a cold coming, but after chanting 16 rounds, I'd beaten off this cold, I wasn't angry anymore, you know. So many times, every day, I can see every day, I mean, do it, it's incredible difference, like that. You learn how to use it, how to take advantage of this yoga, like that, you know. And of course, as we're doing this, all mystical powers will come, you know, different things will come. You'll start becoming, first you give up your intoxicating habits, you'll stop fighting in your family, and you'll become, you know, more and more successful in your line of business. And Maya keep tempting you, like that. When Hari Vilas tells this story, one time, one king didn't have any sons, so he said, okay, I need someone to be the next king. So he made an announcement that I'll be in my palace, you know, on this day, this time, and anybody who comes there, first person who comes there, I'll make him the king, like that, you know. So the door is open, and he went inside, everybody went inside, and there was, you know, where's big, big room, and where's, you know, the king's not here, well, there must be a door to the next place like that. But there's really nice things to eat here, you know, and really good stuff, and so a lot of people just kind of stop for a little tidbit, you know. You know, in the next room there was like unlimited, you know, romantic entanglement, and next, I guess, was a library, and right? Next was a, you know, a gigantic computer with processing and things like that, and video games like that. So finally, only, you know, one person made it through the whole thing like that, you know, to find Krishna. You know, so we have to understand how to use this process to purify ourselves, and then when we're not purified, we can see the difference. You know, I didn't know, you know, how impure I was. You know, many people make that comment when I start following these principles and chanting, I become so contaminated. Well, you don't become so contaminated; you already were. You know, it's just like you start to clean your house, you know, all this dirt comes out. Pull the couches away, pull the carpets up. Wow, the house is becoming so dirty. Well, it was there all along. You know, like that. Yeah. Yeah, again, you'd ask many people, like, you know, if that's somebody who's smoking, for example, so many addictions, sex, drugs, intoxication, power, you know, mental speculation, so many things, like, you know, beauty, aesthetic attraction, fame, you know. So, yeah, you know, so somebody says, you know, I have no trouble smoking. Stop smoking. I have no trouble quitting smoking. I've done it 25 times. Yeah. So when you stop, then you'd be, oh, it's easy to stop smoking. But after you begin to realize, oh, you know? Yeah, it's difficult like that. You know, someone dies in your family. My father passed on. I've been a sannyasi for about my 10 years or something. I had no contact, you know. But I started having dreams coming up like that and stuff. And wow. You know? Yeah. So it's very deep in the subconscious. This is a fact. Buddhi. We're not conscious of this. You know? Most of our lives are carried out just by, like, machines, responding to things. We never figure out really why we're doing things like that. You know? So, here's one nice purport. I'll read this. After good rains, there's a picture of a cow sitting there like that. You know, it's bigger like that. This is a translation of the text. Text 27, chapter 20. After good rains, the grazing ground for the animals was full of green pasture, and both the bulls and the cows sat down on the grass, fully satisfied. The cows, followed by their calves, appeared tired of grazing because of full milk bags. Calmly and quietly, the cows and calves rested and ruminated, chewing their cud. If I was purport. Protection and grazing ground for the cows are among the essential needs for human society and for the welfare of people in general. So what do we need? Yeah, protection of the cows and grazing grounds for the cows. The animal fat required for the human body can be well derived from cow's milk. Cow's milk is very important for human energy, and the economic development of society depends on sufficient food, grains, sufficient milk, and sufficient transportation and distribution of these products. And I put you down someplace and say, look, we're going to supply food, you know, water, and that kind of things, you know. And, well, you've got to kind of make it on yourself for, like, you know, building some kind of shelter and things like that. Well, I can do it. Food's coming in every day nicely like that. The basic thing is to be able to eat, you know, and have some strength. And if society, you know, probably says you go to the forest, you find four poles, make the ground a little wet, dig it out, put them in, put them back in, and then take some things and weave a hut, plant a tulsi plant, sit down by the bank of the river and just chant Hare Krishna. And Krishna will supply the prasad. Yeah, that's simple. You just take four poles and stick them in the ground, use a little water to make the ground soft, dig it up, and you find so many things in the forest, like vines and, you know. But again, we're living in uninhabitable places. According to Vedic culture, where we're living now, it's not really habitable by human beings. Yeah. But I go to South America a lot, and down there is more than enough land and rich jungles to handle more than all the people in the world. All the people in the world. Actually, one peninsula. One European group came to Ecuador. I was looking at one peninsula, and they said you could produce enough food in this place to feed all the people in Europe, like that. You know, you see in India too, like Bengal. I see there's three harvests. You know. You know, roots grow like, you know, as like, you know, elephants like this big in one season, like that. You know, one family for a week, practically speaking, very nice, nutritious, tasty, like that. So much, you know, like that. And so, when people came to America, they could have lived in New York, or they could have lived in the Carolinas. If you live in New York, you have these hellish winters, unbelievable. You know, but it was kind of their karma and their choice to live in this place. Rather than living in the Carolinas where everything's very nice, just four seasons, water growing, coming, like that. You know? So we're creating these problems. Very necessary, sufficient milk, transportation, and distribution of these products. Lord Krishna, by his personal example, taught us the importance of cow protection, which is meant not only for the Indian climate, but for all human beings all over the universe. Less intelligent people underestimate the value of cow's milk. Cow's milk is also called goras, or the juice from the body of the cow. Milk is the most valuable form of goras, and from milk we can prepare many important and valuable foodstuffs for the upkeep of the human body. The killing of cows by human society is one of the grossest suicidal policies, and those who are anxious to cultivate the human spirit must turn their attention first toward the question of cow protection. If you really want to cultivate the human spirit in society, you must have first-class intelligent men to guide the society, and to develop the finer tissues of our brains, you must assimilate vitamin values from milk. Devotees worship Lord Krishna by addressing him as the well-wisher of the brahmanas and the cows. The most intelligent class of men who have perfectly obtained knowledge in spiritual values are called the brahmanas. No society can improve in transcendental knowledge without the guidance of such first-class men. And no brain can assimilate the subtle form of knowledge without fine brain tissues. With such important brain tissues, we acquire a sufficient quantity of milk and milk preparations. Ultimately, we need to protect the cows to derive the highest benefit of this important animal. The protection of cows, therefore, is not merely a religious sentiment, but a means to secure the highest benefit for human society. So even now, how can I be involved in this? Well, you can look for good sources of milk. You know, one person, he said, he doubts that a calf will be able to recognize the milk you buy in the store as, you know, coming from his mother. You know. But I don't think it's all pasteurized now, right? Can you get homogenized. Can you get unhomogenized milk here? Maybe. In California, you can. There are more people that are more like conscious of these things. There's big health food stores and varieties of milk and stuff like that. So people want it, you know, like that. Yeah. When you, how do you homogenize the milk?
Extract all the cream by, let's say, if you churn it and then take out the cream and balance it out.
No?
Boil it?
No. Homogeneous. Homogenized. Homogenized means the cream is mixed in, like that. So you didn't know this. Yeah, they extract the cream however much they want to. They put it in some other product, and you sell it. You mix it back in. You know, low fat, no fat, you know, milk like that. No, what they do, I'm not sure if they put it back in or not, but they spin it to a centrifugate to mix the cream into the milk. Because normally, when I was a child, you didn't have that. It was a new process. Man is improving on nature. So this glass bottle would be there. You take off this, you know, paper top, and all the cream would be on top like that. You know. So you kind of take it off like that or mix it in. But homogenized milk is done by spinning it, right? But then the milk breaks down so small that it doesn't form, you know, solid fat like that. So it's in there like that. But there are problems. For example, there's something called oxytocin, which becomes so fine because of that process that different membranes in your body, which normally direct it and filter it, can't do it. And it passes right through them like that, you know, so on, you know. So, you know, the milk we have probably is not really natural milk. Many people who live on milk in India, they can't do it on this American milk. You know? Milk means fresh from the cow, like that, right? Take it home and boil it. You had this. I mean, have you ever had this? Fresh from the cow, nice cow, happy cow. Yeah. I mean, it's easy. It's so rich. You always complain, oh, the milkman is mixing the water with the milk, you know. But we were taking this home. We had to mix it with water. It was just too rich, like that. It's nice cow. You know? And so, you know, you would boil it like that right away and then mix a different thing. Actually, what we would do is we would boil it with Bengal, you know, go to the milkman's place, come back and boil it with chitta, flat rice, little flat rice, boil it, little sugar, and then take half of it at night hot, and the next morning, because it was boiled with it like that, it was very nice like that. Okay, just every day. And one cup, wow, it's enough. You know? At 20, the number of deaths equals the number of births. You have one cow, she produces a calf, another calf, and it starts growing. Well, you have to kill them, otherwise they'll just, you know, occupy the whole earth. There'll be cows everywhere, sticking their heads through the windows. No, when it reaches 20, the number of deaths equals the number of births, you know, generally speaking. You know. So let's say out of the cows, half will be female, half will be male. Okay, 10 females. A cow naturally gives milk one-third of her life. It's naturally, it's happy, you know, okay, you know. So that means we have 3 1/3 cows giving milk like that. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's easily enough milk for 20 families. Right? So every family has to take responsibility for one cow. Now, the very worst thing that could happen was the cow would live in your house or in your yard like that. And they're very nice. Cows are very nice. When they're, you know, some devotees in California, they would go to this organic fruit orchard. There was one German guy there, and all his life he'd been raising organic fruit. He would sell it. I mean, he had extra, he just gave it to for free, like that. He was living quite well, you know. So he had one cow named Cookie, right? And I think she maybe had one calf, like that, when she was younger. That was it. But she gave milk her whole life, like that, you know. And she was so affectionate. You know, she wouldn't let you go. She would lick you and rub your head, like that. It's very, you know, just to be with her would cure diseases, kind of cancer, you know. And so it's like that. When they're raised nicely, cows are very, very nice, very friendly. You know? Okay, so the very worst, we've got to take care of one cow. Oh, what a burden. It's not a burden. It's nice. Usually what happens is you do something and somebody else takes care of 5 or 6 cows or even 20 like that. You know? So it's all a big propaganda. You have to kill the cows. There won't be enough milk. There won't be enough food. No. If you get out there and work a little bit, you know, you can harvest stuff. The amount of waste in food production is unbelievable. You know, from centralization, processing like that, it's unbelievable how much gets wasted. One time devotees were in Northern California on the plateau. It's a valley, but you go in the northern part, it's a higher part. And they grow potatoes there, a little colder. So they went out and they said, okay, hey, you're going to harvest the potatoes tomorrow and like that and stuff. Can we go do gleaning in the Bible, right? Just go behind your machines and pick up whatever's left. And he said, yeah, you can take whatever you want. Just stay out of the way of my machines like that. Because you know? One night outside, it freezes and it's not good like that. So all the devotees they could get, they went behind these machines. And they showed me, it was like, this is area here, this room and that room. Bigger than that. They had boxes full of potatoes, just you know, side by 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 side. You can imagine just full of potatoes, all this area full of potatoes. And that was all they could pick up in one day. There's more. They picked it like maybe like, I don't know, you know, 2% or, you know, 2% of what was out there like that, right? You know, four or five devotees put as fast as they could. So how much food is being wasted? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know? And the first thing, where to focus? Knowledge is coming down the cow. The cow is a part of the spiritual world, like that. We respect the cows and our relationships. So everybody here, we should think, okay, our community, we have to develop this. We've got to think of some way to get farms going here and, you know, help people, educate people, like that. So again and again, this information is there. The importance of cows, the importance of chanting. Chant Hare Krishna, drink sufficient milk, and you'll go back to the spiritual world. Easy yoga. Chant Hare Krishna, drink sufficient milk, and go back to the spiritual world. Okay? Is the milk ready? Yeah. So, any questions or comments? You're convinced? Yeah. It's all an attitude. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try and promote cow protection and development. How can we do this? You know, all over ISKCON, it's happening. I think in different ways. Okay, we can near here get some land, keep some cows, take care of them. You know, yeah. Are we going to be here or not? We're going to go back to India or not? Well, we're going to think about it. Even if we go back to India, we show people how to do this. We've given some big benefit like that to people. So, Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki. So, any questions, I think? Any comments here? Everybody's perfectly informed.
Is it possible to go, I mean, to raise cows? Like in my village, there were cows when I was young. But
yeah.
Now, nobody raises them and they say it's too difficult because they're so sensitive.
Yeah.
There's so much medication and stuff. Farmers cannot keep up to maintain them.
Yeah.
So they get buffaloes.
Yeah.
Buffaloes.
Yeah.
Survive.
Yeah. I know. The Prabhupada says your brains will become just like the buffaloes. they don't sweat, so all the milk sweat goes into the milk.
Really?
They don't perspire.
Cows do perspire.
Yeah. Cows. Yeah. You see their hair covered like that. Yeah. It goes out. Yeah. Yeah. Prasadam. Krishna's eating. Yeah. Krishna's taking breakfast, lunch, dinner. Yeah. Avashya Rakshabe Krishna. Krishna has given me this service, so therefore he will give me the protection I need to do it. It's difficult, you know. Janivas said in Mayapur, the Prabhupada said, if you follow the instructions I'm giving you, then and your children follow them strictly, then your grandchildren will be traveling on flying carpets. Like that. Yeah. So in two generations it's possible to have that much change, you know, like that. But, you know, it may take longer if we're not, like, strict. Yeah. Yeah. Devotees have been trying rural development all over the world because it's just, you know, I don't know anybody who likes living in the city. I've asked so many people. I know some people who are afraid of living in the country like that, you know. But I don't know anybody who likes living in the city. Even the best penthouse in New York City, you know, what is it? You're packed little area, you can't go anywhere, electronic toys for some time, but it's not like walking barefoot in the forest or sitting up on a hill or just looking a long distance like that and hearing the sounds in the forest and stuff, you know. What to speak of living there and actually knowing how to do things, you know. So many things you can do in the forest like that, nice in the country. Sharanagati is one farm we have in Canada, and it's about 1,200 acres. It's a whole valley, two lakes. It's in Canada, so it gets down to like 30 below zero centigrade normally. And 50 below zero sometimes, like that. At 30 below zero, if you spit, it freezes in the air, like that. You know, yeah. But devotees have developed it. You know, again, because it's this, there's no option. And if you want to actually have some of the good, better things in life, you have to get free from all this entanglement like that. So they've been developing it for many years. Now the government has a school on the property. You know, they put a school there for the devotees. Many, many different projects devotees have, many things like that. One thing that many devotees have discovered is very successful devotees is beekeeping. Right? And now, of course, it's becoming a super occupation. All the bees are dying. But in several places, 40 hives, take care of them, produce the honey, sell it. What else? Jewelry making. But cows means a certain kind of mentality. Basically, having cows is like having kids. You can't say, I don't want this baby anymore. Let's get a new one. So we sell it. No, you're stuck. You're stuck with them. So cows are the same way, which is a commitment. And so the Jagadish Maharaj, who was the GBC secretary, they wouldn't let anybody get cows until they lived there at least 5 years and like on the property, more or less. And some people did it. It was just all they wanted. They're happy. So they got some cows. It's going on like that. They learn how to work the oxen, without beating them or anything. There's many books on how to how to communicate with the animals and discipline them, and they're like teenagers, the cows like that. Yeah, a little rebellious, but of course, if you raise properly, they love you. They know this guy wants the best for me. One of the boys were raising one cow, ox named Gopal. He liked pulling the plow and doing all this kind of stuff, but then he had to actually work. Became a little rebellious and angry. So he hit Madan Mohan like that and knocked him down first time. So the book says, don't hit the cow. It has no benefit, this and that, stuff, But you got to make a big emotional show. So you got two burlap bags. He was waving them and screaming and yelling and everything else. And Gopal was like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. I did something really bad. I'll never do it again, Master, please. I didn't know. And I would never hit him again, ever again. But you know how to communicate with them like that. They're people. They want to act properly. They want to work. They want to feel like I did something and people appreciate me. Now I can sit down and rest, He likes working in proper circumstance. So Sharanagati is a successful project. Several projects. New Talamon.
In Mississippi?
Yeah, it's going on too. Being taken care of them, I guess, too. But again, it's very difficult, so don't be surprised if they take time. But there are many experiences. And once we do what? Bertolt Brecht, he said, there's a magic in determination. Right? Once you say, I'm going to do this, and you really make this commitment, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make sure, I'm going to develop cow protection, and the whole world changes. And you come in contact with people you never would have met before. And things happen that never would have happened before like that. So yeah, Krishna says this, I'm going to try and do this. And you start seeing. It's just impossible things happen like that. You meet people. And you come, it comes to the temple and says, hey, I got this land and everything else and so forth and so on. I've been interested. Maybe you want to develop. Okay. So we start. Prabhupada will come back so depressed many times, so difficult. But he said, let me try and do something. And you see Krishna does so much more. Prabhupada ki jai. Okay. So anything else? You can chant a little bit. Okay, a little more kirtan, and then we can have some prasadam. Hopefully there's some goras in the prasad too. So Lord Chaitanya became a God-intoxicated man after going to Gaya. And he was coming back, talking about the value of chanting and all these kind of things. So people asked him, well, how should we do this? And he said, sit in your patio every evening with your family, and you chant, Haraije Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudan. And you're chanting your beads, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So this is another way of chanting the Maha Mantra. It's all one bellows. Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Gopal Govinda Ram, Shrimati Sudan. Gopal Govinda Ram, Shrimati Sudan. Hari Raya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah. Gopal Govinda Ram, Shrimati Sudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Sita. Hari Guru Vaishnavam Bhagavata Gita. Sri Rupsi Sanatana Mata Raghunatha. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunatha. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan Radhe. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan Radhe. Radha, Giridhari Radha, Giridhari Radhe. Jaya Radha, Giridhari Radha, Giridhari Radhe. Jaya Giri Govardhan Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Giri Govardhan Jaya Krishna Balaram
Jaya Giri Govardhan Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Giri Govardhan Jaya Krishna Balaram
Jaya Giri Govardhan Jaya Krishna Balaram
Jaya Giri Govardhan
Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Nanda Maharaj Jaya Nanda Maharaj Jaya Yashoda Mai Jaya Yashoda Mai Jaya Vrindavan Dham Jaya Vrindavan Dham Jaya Krishna Balaram
Jaya Krishna Balaram
Jaya Giri Govardhan Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhagavan ki jai, Vaishnava Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, Go Mataji ki jai, Gaur Bhavanandi. One should not hesitate when there's a chance to make money or eat.
one should not hesitate when there's a chance to make money or eat.
In that order?
Huh?
In that order?
No. This is your harmonium? Nice.